Welcome to Sundown, a podcast about art, guns, a hurricane, and the challenges of honest communication. From the heart of the Catskill Mountains in New York, our hosts, Keiko Sono and Olivia Minadasi, navigate through the complex psychology and emotions between a gun store owner and a contemporary artist as they form an unlikely collaboration to install a public artwork. We hope that Keiko's deep dive into her own mistakes and her effort to embrace them inspires you and reminds you that honesty rewards those who don't give up on it.
A few weeks after the reception, I went back to Sundown to talk with Paul. Aside from checking in with Paul about how he felt about the project, I had two missions: to confront him about the controversial sign and extending the date of the show. Chris and I wanted a few more weeks to get more people to visit and possibly get some write-ups.
Chris and I were driving around looking for a location. He picked this place. For some reason, he felt something. You know, he looked at that phone, he looked at that place, you know, like everything about this place. He was like, this is the place, you know. So I was like, okay. And I called you, and, you know, graciously you agreed to meet with us. And at that time, I didn't know who you were. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what you believed in or what your background was or anything, you know. And you turned out to be somebody who is pretty much opposite of most of the people who would normally come and see works like that, you know, in terms of like political views and cultural background and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you also grew up in New York, you know. So like a lot of people who live here, there is that kind of interesting dichotomy, you know, like this parallel between New York and the Catskills. That's always there. You know, so to me, as a producer, I thought that this also had a potential beyond just creating artwork, but a potential to kind of show the outside world that people from different viewpoints could work on a really crazy thing like this and make it work.
I think you... You never asked my political views. No, Chris didn't either, and I read one of the things that Chris wrote, and he's wrong. We never discuss politics whatsoever. So he doesn't know what my political views are. I mean, you know, there was no... He wrote something that, and don't get me wrong, I love Chris. He is a great guy. His family was fantastic. You guys were fantastic when we had our little... You know, the get-together and the opening here, I thought that was absolutely wonderful and everything. Nobody asked my political views. Everybody assumes everything, okay? You can't assume anything, okay? That's why I gave it a shot, to see what would happen, okay?
Having done this project, not just this, but, you know, portraits and stories, that's been the case every time. Because I do come in with assumptions, you know, and preconceived ideas. And however hard I try to get rid of that, I still cling on to that assumption. And also, the reason we didn't talk about political views was because we didn't want that to kind of blow up the project. You know, we wanted to focus on putting the project up. And also, you know, most of the time, artists are traditionally non-political, you know, because art is art and, you know, it shouldn't really make a difference whether whatever you believe in, right?
You seem like a very well-rounded individual, and I'm sure Chris is. You've seen a lot of different things because you have to when you're... This is my assumption, and I'm guessing, and I might be wrong, but whatever your medium in art is, you have to look around and you have to see everything. You need the big picture before you can focus on whatever your project is. When you have to look at everything before you can narrow it down to what you're trying to say in your medium, whatever your medium of art is, whether it's painting or photograph or recording, whatever. That's just my observation. I will tell you that when I go to gun shows and stuff, there are artists at gun shows. There is one woman that will take spent cartridges of fired ammunition. She makes the most beautiful jewelry out of it, earrings and things like that. And art is in the eyes of the beholder, and I think people from all walks of life are artists, or they can be if they have the feeling to create something to share with other individuals. This is only my observation, okay? I'm no artist, but it's just an observation from what I see of other individuals. So go to a gun show one day and you'll see how much art there really is, even in there. It's a different medium, absolutely. Is a little political, can be, but not all the time. So, you know, you have to look.
What do you think about Chris's piece? You can be honest.
To me, it's an interesting interpretation. I don't know if he actually achieved what he thought the public would think of it, because it's a little deep for a lot of individuals around here. I would say, from what I see, customers that would come and look at it that were from the city, they really appreciated. They took some pictures of it. They liked it and stuff. The locals weren't so receptive to it.
What are some of the things that you've heard?
They didn't know what it was. They really didn't know what it was. Unfortunately, there were a couple of instances where there were almost accidents on the road because people coming down this way caught it at the side of their eye. They're not watching where they're going. So it was a little, you know, sketchy there a few times. And they just drove by. They didn't stop or anything. I've actually had, when the store was closed, I've only seen one person actually stop to take pictures the whole time. But, of course, I'm not here all the time when the store's closed either. So I can't give you an honest evaluation of what goes on when I'm not here, when the store is closed and people, you know, see it. The one good thing is there has not been any vandalism to the piece. Nobody did anything that I can see, you know, to the piece. It's still the same, pretty much, except for one little corner, which I accidentally hit with the lawnmower yesterday, but I fixed it as best as I could. But outside of that, nobody, from what I see, nobody touched anything. Nobody did anything to it at all.
I wondered if I should have had some kind of like a explanation somewhere, you know, about what the piece was. But then again, I thought
I think that would have helped. Honestly, really? I think you need to, you know, art is communication. And I understand that abstract art can be very, very deep. And people have to do a little introspection when they see something. And unfortunately, nowadays, and I'm not talking about just peace, I'm talking about in general, people don't have enough time anymore. You know how fast everybody is in trying to do things. They don't have the time to sit there and it's a shame because they should. They should take in a sunset. They should take in, you know, something really, really pretty, you know. Even if they're driving around the reservoirs here, you know, stop at one of the pull-off areas and just enjoy it. You know, look at it, take some pictures of it and stuff. Breathe some fresh air, something. So, yeah, I think a sign with an explanation might have helped a little bit, would have helped some of the individuals, because I don't think a lot of people had any idea what was going on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because they come in the store and they say, you know, what is that? And I try to tell them a little bit, but even I don't know exactly. I mean, I know he's trying to get the height of the water, then when it came through a Hurricane Irene and the flow, I got it. That I got. But there's a lot of things there. I don't know what he was trying to say, you know?
Once I realized that the piece itself was not going to be naturally engaging, as if, you know, if it had like a kinetic function, I should have adjusted my attitude and I should have created handouts and signs and really be more forward with explaining the piece. There were a lot of interesting things in the piece, both conceptually and visually, that if visitors had read about it, that would have started a conversation. There were a lot of things I could have done. I could have done I spy thing, you know, like I spy little bullets or something like that, you know, but I didn't do them. I did not, you know, seize on all these great opportunities.
I mean, I totally agree. I love like your idea about that, like I spy for kids, or like having, you know, trying to engage people a little bit more from a piece that might seem a little bit intimidating at first glance. And I think this is just kind of another example, along with Chris's Gatorade bottle like sculpture. I think like with his work, at least from my experience with these two pieces, it takes a longer and more thought out like viewing to really like let everything like click and like sink in. And even with like earlier with the Gatorade piece, when I was hearing about how it was made and like the process of like what was going on, and the more I looked at it while I listened to that, it made me appreciate it a lot more and like really see the true beauty of what was going on. And I know that you said that you wanted the piece to sort of speak for itself, which makes a lot of sense. But I think this is where the story of Paul's store during Hurricane Irene would have made a huge difference. Since it was so unique to Paul's store, it wouldn't necessarily be explaining the deeper themes into the piece. It would be explaining why this piece is here in the first place. Because at the end of the day, like, it's really more up to the individual to derive their own deeper meanings from the art. But having that sort of story play in there would have added a little more of a connection to the land and also a connection to the piece, and would have kind of connected everything together.
So from here, our conversation turns to political issues and it gets a little intense. It was very uncomfortable for me, you'll be able to tell. But I had to confront him about the controversial sign.
You said that we never really brought up the political part of this mm-hmm. project or our relationship. Do you think we should have done? Do you think we should have, like, say, what's your political view?
No, I don't think it was necessary, but I think it was just, I was a little surprised about all of a sudden the assumption. I mean, I'm going to tell you something politically now. Many, many years ago in the town of Denning, I ran for town justice in this town. Even though I was an independent slash also a Republican, I was actually endorsed by the Democratic Party. So, I mean, crossing party lines, you want to get political. When I vote for somebody, I don't vote straight party line or anything. I vote for the person who I think is the most qualified, period. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, independent. If I think the person deserves it or can do a good job, I will vote for that individual. I know which one you're talking about. It's like, do I have to speak to you in 12 gauge?
You know, he took it as some, you know, as a message to non-English speaking people and saying, if you don't speak English, you know, then this is the answer.
If you're trying to show the difference between an artist and the conception of having a gun store, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. So even though you might not be happy about it, you knew what you were getting into when you came into a gun store. I sell guns. Do I sell guns to kill people? No. Chris's own brother deals with firearm accessories. His own brother. Now, I want to ask you this. Does Chris talk to his brother? Is he upset with his brother that he has anything to do with the firearms industry?
Paul's reaction here, again, kind of surprised me. Is he admitting that this is, there's like a racist tone to this sighing? And is that what he's being defensive about? You know, like I was a little bit confused. But then I realized that Paul was thinking that Chris was offended because he was against gun rights in general, not the racist message. You know, I realized that this, you know, issue of racism kind of completely went over his head. He didn't even like catch on that, you know. And it took me a while to realize that Paul was talking about gun issues in general. So this confusion happened because I was so desperately trying to avoid using the term racism. You know, like I'd never really clarify that, right? So that also, I think, caused some confusion here.
I guess I would also add that it wasn't really your goal or anyone's goal to make this like a political project. And like even this podcast, it wasn't supposed to be like a political, it wasn't supposed to have a political focus. It was supposed to have like an artistic focus and focusing on how art can sort of bridge that gap between two different people. However, I think that this whole experience reflects the time that we're in right now, where it is hard to separate those interpersonal connections from political conversations. And sometimes, even though it is going to be uncomfortable, it's more important to bring that up so that it's clear for, you know, and that so that everybody knows and so that there's the opportunity to talk about it.
And another thing that crossed my mind was that, you know, when we say politics or political issues, people take politics in different ways. Is it about political affiliations? Is it about issues? There's like a real messiness when we talk about politics. It's just like art. You know, art has so many different definitions, but, you know, something like politics is the same. You know, there are a lot of different interpretations.
Is there anything in the piece that says gunshot?
I think he used bullets.
Can you see them? If you use a magnifying glass, you might be able to see the casings, because he asked me for them. But outside of that, does there something that just, you look at it and stands out and say, oh, well, this has got to do with firearms or something like that? No, absolutely not. Nothing. Nothing. I didn't even know that he used it in there until somebody pointed it out to me, that there were a couple of empty casings in the piece. I didn't even know they were there until somebody told me. Basically, the art piece was his conception of the flow. And I think we're really, really getting off the subject as far as politics. This piece has nothing to do with politics. The only thing political, or not even political, is the store. You know, you did it outside of a gun shop, basically. Gun shop / convenience store. Really, that's the only thing. If you want to drag politics into it, fine. But I think it's unnecessary because that's not what the piece was about. Okay? The piece is the piece. You know, it's nothing about shooting. There's nothing there that says anything about the shop as far as selling guns or any, you know, it has nothing to do with it. You know, it has nothing to do with it at all.
If there was anything that you were hoping to achieve through this collaboration, what was it?
I think I was being very gracious giving the space to Chris to express his, you know, his desire to have the piece and you know, the meaning of it and everything. It's a far cry from what it was supposed to be originally. He showed me the sketch. It was supposed to be a water feature, which would have been great, I feel. Between the phone and the Coke machine, I think it would have gone over better, but that's, again, I'm not the artist. That's just my personal opinion, I think. And that's why I got excited about it because of the fact that, you know, he's going to try to make it so when it rained, and we had plenty of rain a couple of times where the water would come down and it would have flowed through. And then I even came up with the idea with him. I said, listen, we'll get a solar power, a little pump for like from a fish tank, and the thing will flow all the time, even when there's no rain. I said, it'll be very cool. People would appreciate seeing that at least, you know, because people would like something like that, you know, not necessarily a static display. This completely, like, was nothing like the original concept at all. Nothing. So, you know, that was a little disappointing, quite frankly, because I was on board with that. If he had showed me this at first, I would have said, no, we're not doing that. I mean, he tried to show what he felt, you know, but did it work out with the general public? I think his friends appreciated it and everything, but I don't know if anybody else did. Really, I don't know. I don't know if he achieved the goal that he was looking toward. I don't know if he hit the mark, his goal. I don't know. It's just my guess. I don't know. He felt that he did, and maybe he did. And if he feels good about it, more power to him. You know? I'm not an art critic, you know, or anything. Well, you know, it's just what I see and the input from other individuals, you know, things like that. And I don't know. I think he missed the mark for this population here. And I teased people. They would ask, you know, what is that? And I says, what's the matter with you? Aren't you sophisticated enough to appreciate art? Look at it. You know, so I teased a lot of people too.
You can understand why I didn't listen to this recording and even abandoned the podcast the first time around. It was so difficult for me to face this. Paul was right about everything in what he said during this conversation, except one thing. Chris completely achieved his goal. You know, Paul said that he didn't achieve what he wanted, but that's not true. He achieved what he wanted, which is following his artistic urge, and with my full support, of course. And this led to creating a work that is strong in every artistic sense. But it was me, it was I, not Chris, who didn't achieve what was intended. And I felt that both Paul and Chris were extremely generous and open-minded to accept my unorthodox project proposal. And yet I felt that I wasted that generosity.
What do you mean by like wasted generosity?
So I asked myself, what if I had caught the moment when Chris steered away from the kinetic function? What if I had stepped in when Chris described his idea of the wall protecting the Pepsi machine and made sure that Paul understood the concept and possibly got him on board with it? What if once the wall was up, I had created a sign and handouts? Or I could have painted the floodline in his shed as he numerously suggested and connect that to Chris's work. Maybe if I had done any of these things, maybe we could have achieved that sense of accomplishment of shared experience.
Yeah. I guess there could have been more of like a middle ground approach to this in general, rather than just you being like hands off for the sake of artistic integrity or completely like controlling every step of the way, because obviously you want to give it some sort of natural flow. But I mean, despite all of your what ifs and like regrets, the fact that you did reach out to Paul and Chris individually afterwards to figure out what happened and to try and salvage the project as a whole is admirable. I think admitting to your mistakes and, you know, owning up to them is also super important and I think makes all the difference.
Also, Paul didn't bring up any of this. He didn't complain at all about Chris changing his mind or, you know, about anything. You know, he talked about all this only because I interviewed him and I asked him, right? So I could have not had this conversation and I could have just ended this project, but I'm glad I had this conversation.
Thank you for listening to Sundown. Sundown is a production of Forge Collective, a platform for co-creating stories of the future we want to envision. For more information and photos of Chris's work and our project, visit forgeartcollective.org. Many thanks to Chris Victor, Paul and Barbara Natu, and Don Ryan and Victoria Blade for their participation, and to John Notar for the theme music. This project was made possible in part with funds from the statewide community re-grants program, a re-grant program of the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the Office of Governor Hochul and the New York State Legislature, and administered by Arts Mid-Hudson.